Welcome to the Entertainment Engine.
Hello, my name is Peter Moore.
And I'm Bex Gregory. And welcome to the next episode of the Entertainment Engine.
The idea behind this podcast is to provide clarity and information on the entertainment industry for new bands and artists, as well as existing creative industry people who are looking just to brush up on their knowledge.
You can listen to us on all streaming platforms and be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode.
If you want to learn more about what we do on a day-to-day basis, then please visit our website, seamlessentertainment.co.uk.
Each week, we'll be bringing you an in-depth area of the entertainment industry. And this week, we'll be discussing music supervision for film and TV.
Also on the show, Bex has the facts of the day and a question for this week for our listeners.
And now, it's over to Pete to get started for this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of The Entertainment Engine. This week, we're going to be looking at a really... one of probably the most exciting areas, I think, of the music industry today, really, is sync placements for film, TV and the gaming industry. Now, with the sync world for film, TV and gaming, everyone, and I mean everyone, is jumping on the bandwagon. And everyone sort of knows what this area means, but really, do they? So, we put together some of the most important terms you will need to know when it comes to licensing your music for sync, TV, film, video games and advertising. Okay, let's have a little bit more of a look. First area we're going to look at is compositions. A composition is any music as it exists as a piece of intellectual property. Basically, the melody, progression, lyrics, rhythmic pattern, or combination of all will be considered a composition. All songs are compositioned, but not all compositions are songs. Compositions without lyrics are often referred to as a piece. In almost all cases, the owner to the copyright of the composition is the original author or authors, unless there is a written agreement between the authors and another person or entity, for example, like a publishing company. Okay, let's look at the next area, which is masters. A master is a recording of a performance of a composition. The actionable, tangible recording. If you compose a piece of music for piano and five different pianists separately make a recording of that composition, you now have five different masters of one composition. Traditionally, though not as common these days, music labels would own their artist masters. Often, a label would give the artist money up front, known as an advance, to pay for them to record songs for an album in the future, or albums. Now, if everything went well, the label would collect any money made from the masters, from the sales of sync, downloads, album singles, until they recouped the money. They advanced the artist. After that, both the artist and the record label would share in the profits from the masters. Well, hopefully this is the plan. Okay. Publishing administration. In music, a publishing administrator is a person or entity that is empowered to look after the best interest of a composition or catalogue of compositions. Sort of like a power of attorney, really. The publishing administrator or pub admin does not own any of the composition it represents, but often takes percentage of the revenues as a commission. Therefore, it is in the best interest of the pub admin to find as many, and I mean as many, revenue sources for the catalogue that it represents. If the writer makes money, then a pub admin makes money. Everyone's happy. Okay, next point is covers. We know that covers are basically new masters of existing compositions. And looking at this example, in 1997, Limp Bizkit won the hearts and souls of the TRL youth with their hit cover of George Michael's Faith. Any time that song got played, sold or synced, both Limp Bizkit and George Michael made some money. So when Limp Bizkit's version of Faith appeared in the 1998 dark comedy Very Bad Things, the music supervisor on the film had to clear the composition through George Michael's publisher and the master through Limp Bizkit's label. And another fun point. we're all pretty aware of Guitar Hero, the video game company, where you use the buttons on a guitar shape controller and it syncs with the classic rock songs. If you've ever played the game, have you noticed that a lot of the songs sound a little different? This is because the game makers decided to re-record the songs. This way, they didn't have to pay the licensing fee on the master side. They only had to pay the publisher for the rights to use the composition in the game. As you may imagine, this has caused a lot of problems amongst all of the labels. Okay, the next point we're going to look at is samples. And this is a real big area. A sample is the use of a portion of an existing sound recording, aka the master. In the creation of a new sound recording, new master, an artist could sample one small section of a recording and loop it, or sample many different recordings to create a new master. Sampling is most common in hip-hop music production, but can be found in almost all genres. If you want to use a sample in your next composition, be sure you clear the rights before you try to monetize it. It's really that simple. Because the sample itself is a piece of recording of a composition, you will need to clear the rights with both the master and the publisher. If you haven't gotten, and most likely got paid for, the rights to use your new master with the sample's original copyright owners, you are going to have a very hard time getting any kind of sync opportunities. Music supervisors are massive sticklers for rights and always will play it safe when it comes to samples, so really take note of that area. Okay, going on to splits. Splits on compositions just refer to what a percentage each songwriter gets out of the pie. For example, if Joe writes the music and Jane writes the lyrics for a song called Stop Throwing Apples, the splits will likely be 50% Joe and 50% Jane. If a band with four members all write a song called Alone, they might choose to do an even split of 25% each. It's really up to the writers themselves to work out and agree upon what percentage they should all get. There's no hard and fast rules here. The split will determine how sync fees or royalties get divided up amongst the writers. But I suppose a little bit from me, always have that conversation with the band or with the creative people you work with, because if you don't get that down in writing from day one and you do go and get a big song and it goes into stratosphere, someone's going to be a bit aggrieved that they didn't get their percentage or their money. So just clear that up from day one and you shouldn't really have any problems. Okay, moving on to the sync fee. Anytime a song is synced to a picture, it will command a sync fee. The fee is determined by a number of factors, but the three biggest are scope of use, the media in which the sync will occur, and live, TV, web, video games, advertisements. Term, how long the sync will run for. Is it 1 week? Is it 1 year? Or is it in perpetuity? And territory, where the sync will air, local stations, nationally, or globally. Another factor is the negotiating leverage that a song or artist has. For example, if you are a dad band from X with 67 views on YouTube and 50 views on Instagram, you probably won't be able to negotiate fees as higher than a bigger artist. There are not all the points that factor into a sync fees are price, but they certainly are the most important going forward. That's all for part one. I'll be back with you part two shortly, but now I'm going over to Bex for the facts of the day.
Facts of the day. For this week, I want to share some really interesting facts on how musical education leads to better exam results. Scientific studies have established that music is good for the brain. As a result, students should be introduced to music studies from an early age. Not only is it an enjoyable subject, but a subject that can enrich students' lives and education. Research shows students who have experience with music performance or taking music appreciation courses score higher on the SATs test. One report indicated that they score on average 63 points higher on verbal and 44 points higher on math. Music students also tend to show higher self-confidence, are responsible risk-takers, good team players, have increased coordination, are more creative and emotionally developed, and have a healthy sense of achievement. So these studies really show why music education is so important, as it offers so many benefits.
That's brilliant. Thanks for that, Bex. That's really interesting. And as we all know, music plays a massive part in everybody's life. So that's really cool. And welcome back to part two. Okay, so the next area we're going to look at is obviously artist's favourite, which is royalties. Royalties for music. There are two main types of royalties to be earned: the mechanicals and performance. Mechanical royalties are simply royalties based on physical or digital copies of a song. These are paid out to the rights owner, to the recording master, which is usually the label. In the US, the mechanical royalty rate is 9.1 cents per sale of a physical recording or digital download. So if you hit 100,000 iTunes downloads of your hit song In the Rain, the label owes you $9,100. Performance royalties are paid to the songwriter and publisher any time the composition is performed in public. If your music is played on TV, the radio, or performed live in a venue by cover band, you are owed public performance royalties. Performing rights organisations such as ASCAP or BMI monitor and collect these royalties on your behalf. And speaking of the pros, performing rights organisations. A performing rights organisation, PRO, is basically an agency that collects royalties on behalf of the rights owners, songwriters and publishers. For the most part, any time a song is played in public, TV shows, radio, in the garden, retail park, the venue, network or channel must pay out the rights holders. PROs collect these payments and distribute them amongst their rights holders. There are different PROs depending on what country you're in. In the US, it's ASCAP, BMI and CSAC, which is invite only, and the UK is PRS for music. The way it's divided up can be quite complicated, as you can probably imagine. For example, BMI has over 150 different licensing types. Okay, so let's look at the breakdown. Venues pay for an annual blanket license so the musician can play whatever they want during a performance. The fee is based on several different factors, but mainly capacity, free versus ticket events, and frequency of live performance. Retail, clothing stores, car dealerships, DIY shops are priced based mainly but not solely on the square footage. Hospitality, restaurants, hotels, pubs, clubs, price based many factors including square footage of area where music is played, capacity, TV versus background music, speakers. TV. Networks submit cue sheets of all the music used in their programming to the pros. These cue sheets list the timing of the usage. The fee rates are different depending on the network and the time of day of the air the shows, of course. If your song is played on NBC during prime time, it will earn a higher royalty than if it was played at 2 a.m. on BBC. Radio. Pay is based on each and the usage are reported by the stations directly to the pros. It gets really complex. This is why songwriters need a pro, to make sure that if your music is being played in public, you are getting paid. It could be pennies per play, but multiply that by potential hundreds of thousands of plays and you could be getting some really nice money. Next point is pre-clear. Okay, pre-clear is a term used by music supervisors. It is music where all the rights holders agree to predetermined rates for the use of the music for a project, usually in bulk. For example, let's say a clothing brand wants to showcase their new design on Instagram. Over the next 6 months, they will produce 2 new video posts per week and have $1,000 per post budget for music. The brand creators will reach out to the rights holders with a creative brief and ask for all of your best fashion music that is pre-cleared at $1,000 all in. The rights holders will then send them back a package of music that has been cleared at that rate in advance. This way, the clothing brand can simply dive into the pool of pre-cleared tracks and plug them in as they like without worrying if they're going to be able to afford the sync fee. Once the songs are locked in, they send a note to the rights holders who simply reply back with an agreement and invoice. Next area we're going to look at is One Stop. One stop simply means all the rights, 100% of master and 100% of publishing, are represented by one entity. This makes the licensing process really easy for both parties, licensor and licensee, as they can clear the whole of a song through one person or entity. They don't have to track down and clear rights with multiple different rights holders. One stop allows for more flexibility on pricing of each deal. Sub-publishers. Often songwriters or publishing entities will have a sub-publisher who represents the catalogue in other territories of the world. This can be advantageous to the original rights holder, as they have representation in markets they would not normally receive. Sub-publishers take a commission on royalties and sync fees earned in their respective territories. The next one is Most Favoured Nations, MFN. It means that all of the involved rights holders, masters and publishing, will get the same fee for a sync. Basically, all parties get the same terms and fee, which is the most favourable. It's sort of like setting the bar, really. Let's look at an example. Let's say you're an artist that produces hip-hop beats and you have 50% writer share on a song called V Nation. Pepsi wants to use this track in their next ad. They reach out to all the rights holders, label and publishers, to get quotes for this use. If the label quotes $100,000 for the use and the publisher quotes lower but cites Most Favoured Nations, unless Pepsi pushes back on the label to get the quote lower, the label has now just set the bar for what that spot is worth monetarily. Always quote Most Favoured Nation clause. Okay, going on. Publishing administration exclusivity. Now this is quite a big one, so let's look at a couple of really interesting points. Exclusivity is crucial if you want to be taken seriously in the sync world. There are two big main reasons why. Point one, let's say you have a non-exclusive pub deal with company A. You can then legally enter a pub administration deal with company B, and company C, and company D, and so on. So now you have several people with the rights to clear your music for sync opportunities. Pretty much like a lot of boots on the ground, really. Sounds great. No, it's a complete and utter mess. What's going to happen with Happy DJ that wants to use your song Paper Road in their new campaign? They look the song up on the pros and reach out to all the companies for a quote. Now let's look what could happen. Company A quotes $20,000. Company B quotes $10,000. Company C has no bloody idea what they're doing whatsoever and quotes $750. What do you think they're going to do and who they're going to clear the rights with? Know your worth at the beginning. It's really, really important. And two, if you land a nice juicy 2V commercial and there's big dollars in this, they are guaranteed to ask for market exclusivity at the very least. What this means is that you cannot legally enter into another sync agreement with a different competitor in the marketplace for the duration of that term of that sync. So let's look at another example. If your song, Drive Me Home Kev, lands in a Toyota commercial, you cannot legally clear that sync for a Ford commercial until the term of that Toyota spot expires. Make sense? Now, if your publishing administrator deal is non-exclusive, Admin A could clear the Toyota spot while Admin B clears the Ford spot a week later. There is no for either admins to guarantee market exclusivity for either spot. Ad agencies really don't like this. Okay, lots of points that are covered in this session, but don't think this is the gravy train to actually, you know, you're going to walk into the BBC, ITV, NBC and get the biggest sync and walk away really happy. It really doesn't work like that, and it could take you several years before you've even got a sync. But the more knowledge and the better prepared you are, then the more chances you have of actually going forward. And I think that's a really good, positive way to go. So good luck with all of that. And now I'm going to pass over to Bex for the question of the day.
Okay, so now let's look at this week's question of the day. With the names Jimmy, Robert, John and John, can you identify this rock band from the first names of their original lineup? So if you think you know the answer, please get in touch with us, and you can do this by sending us a voice message via anchor.fm/entertainmentengine or you can email us directly at podcast@seamlessentertainment.co.uk for a chance to be featured on next week's show.
Well, that's all for today's episode of The Entertainment Engine, and thanks for listening.
Join us again next week when we have more special guests on the show, along with some great industry advice.
So, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow The Entertainment Engine on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest updates.
It would be great to have your feedback on the show, so you can always drop us a message at any time. That'd be great.
Thanks for listening to the show, and stay safe.
The Entertainment Engine.